This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Epic victories, heartbreaking defeats. No matter your team, no matter your game, we talk sports on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. So very fortunate to have guys like Andy Barrett from Yahoo Fantasy Sports joining us here in the Sports Bar. Set your lineup for fantasy football this weekend and talk about where Le'Veon Bell could potentially land. Andy, know how busy you are today. Thank you so much for making some time for us here in the Sports Bar. How are you, bud?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me. It's been a while.
Yeah, baseball has bumped us here. We always are grateful for a few minutes from you, Andy. As we're setting our lineups here, let's start in Dallas. Andy Dalton and the stats, how did they translate here in comparison to what Dak Prescott was doing? Can we still put faith into that Dallas offense?
Yeah, I think an important thing to actually mention is that what Dak Prescott was doing had no precedent in NFL history. He was so far ahead of the pace necessary for the single season yardage record that he was really only going to have to average a little bit more than 300 yards a game, which people do. Like, that happens. If he was playing 16 games, it was getting to a point where he was a good bet to break the single season yardage record. That's where Dak was. Andy Dalton's not that guy, right? There's no rushing element to his game, unlike Dak. But can he be 80% of what Dak was? That's kind of where I'm at. Yeah, I think he can be like 75% to 80%, which isn't spectacular news for the Cowboys. It's fine. It's about as good as any backup you could reasonably expect. But it's pretty good for fantasy owners because he's never been in a situation, and I guess we could argue about the years in which he had peak A.J. Green and Marvin Jones and a healthy Tyler Eifert, but that was only like a minute, right? He's almost never been in a situation where he's had a receiving core that is this talented and deep. Like, the receivers go three deep, and then he's got a good tight end in Dalton Schultz, and then he's got a great receiving option out of the backfield in Zeke Elliott. So there's a lot of cheap and easy yards available to him here. That receiving core just functions so well. They've got a premier deep threat in Gallup. They've got premier intermediate threats in CeeDee Lamb and Cooper. It's really good. My biggest worry about that offense is that Dalton has never been the sort of player who can keep more than two guys fantasy relevant in any given week, right? So I don't expect to see any more weeks in which the tight end and three receivers are all solid fantasy plays. I think it's going to be like two guys each week, and it's going to be hard to guess who those two are going to be.
Andy, a lot of talk around Le'Veon Bell. I think we could probably wait another 3 weeks or so before we find out where he signs. But if he does indeed sign with one of these three teams that are mentioned in a Jeremy Fowler report, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, and of course the Bills, we've been spending plenty of time talking about that. I want to focus in specifically on the Chiefs. As somebody who invested in Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round, you're not seeing a return on that investment just yet. A couple of things here. One, is now the time? I mean, if you have him, you should try to trade him now. And what can you get for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, realizing you're going to get pennies on the dollar for what you invested in, likely in the first round? And secondly, what would Le'Veon Bell do to that Kansas City backfield if he was there with a coach who actually knew how to utilize his talents?
I guess I feel like maybe in different places on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because I can understand why there would be some panic about him right now. I'm more likely to try to buy. I'm more likely to go out there and try to say, okay, well, I just don't have high expectations for Le'Veon Bell. I'm not, you know, I got a lot of fantasy problems this season, and Le'Veon Bell has not been one of them. I did not attach myself to Le'Veon Bell He had a season of such historic inefficiency last year that virtually no one, particularly a player of his age, no one ever comes back to have a good season after being as bad as he was last year. 3.2 yards per carry bad, like 250 carries, something like that, and just a pitiful yardage total, like less than 800 yards. The only thing that saved the season fantasy-wise is that they threw him a lot of short passes that went nowhere, right? So he gave you some PPR value. I'm not sure that we're going to ever see anything close to vintage Le'Veon Bell again. That said, the team that signs him is clearly going to use him. I don't think that a team is going to sign him and make him their featured back as soon as he comes in the building, and I flatly think that Edwards-Helaire at this point is a better player than Le'Veon Bell probably is. But he does take a chunk out of anybody's value. It would be bad for Singletary. It would be bad for CEH. And, you know, fewer people are attached to Myles Gaskin, but it would obviously be bad for him, too. I actually think, like, the one spot that he could land in where he would actually get, like, 20-plus touches a week would probably be Miami. Clearly, if he goes to the Chiefs, he gets interesting. But for me, it's only in, like a very low-end RB2, RB3 sort of way. And I would expect them to use Edwards-Helaire and Bell in a committee of some sort with Clyde still getting the lion's share of the work.
Andy, you can imagine us up here like, wait a second, the Bills? And they admitted today that okay, they've had conversations here. But does that speak to something here where the Bills are throwing the ball and they're having success? And even though they did lose to Tennessee on Tuesday night, the running game for Buffalo, your thoughts on that right now? And Devin Singletary, is this a time to sell for the Bills running back situation?
Yeah, it probably is. It's not a very good game to take to the trade market. But like, there's two different ways that things take a bad turn for Devin Singletary, right? And one is just that Zach Moss gets healthy and they start to use Zach Moss as they'd always intended to. And the other way, of course, is that Le'Veon Bell gets in the building and starts taking a dozen touches per week, which is certainly possible. And then, of course, you also have the problem that Singletary is going to persist with every Bills running back, including Le'Veon Bell, or anybody else they brought in, which is that Josh Allen is their best option as a goal line runner, right? And is going to end up rushing for 8 to 10 touchdowns this season. That's the central problem. So, yeah, I kind of do feel like, especially if nothing happens over the next few days and it sure seems like Singletary is going to take something close to a full workload again, this is a great time to feel him.
Spending time with Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy Sports, talking fantasy football on the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Andy, can we pour one out for Juju Smith-Schuster's time in Pittsburgh? Because it sure feels like the Steelers are back to the old Steeler way of never overpaying for their skill position players and letting them walk in free agency because they just keep that cupboard stacked. Chase Claypool, undoubtedly one of the top waiver wire pickups of the week, having himself a nice rookie season so far. What's going on with Pittsburgh?
Yes, it's funny. I've heard some people discuss Claypool as if he's just like a one-hit wonder, as if he's just a guy who happened to pop in one particular week. He, you know, if you're watching these games, Chase Claypool has made a splash play in literally every week. He has a gain of 20 or more yards in every game they've played from week one on. It's shown constantly. And I first wrote about him in the pickups column like 3 weeks ago, because he actually out-snapped every Steelers receiver. So this was only a matter of time. I think there's something like a 30% chance that he's actually the best receiver on the roster right now. And that's no disrespect to Juju, who's really good, probably a really, really good sort of 1A receiver. I think Deontay Johnson is great, too. I just think this is another case of the Steelers finding a kid outside the first round of the draft who has superstar potential. It's also a situation where I'm not sure if people are familiar with the combine measurables for Chase Claypool, but they were basically like mutant superhero level combine numbers, right? He was over a 40-inch vertical leap, low 4.4 speed at 6'4", and he's just like he's rocked up, like, and then he plays to it too. This isn't like a case where somebody comes in and they've got, oh wow, we ran a 4.3, that's crazy, but then his play speed just never matches it. Claypool's play speed totally matches it. You can see the vertical ability. He's great. Like I don't see a whole lot of difference between him and like CeeDee Lamb in terms of a future prospect. And I almost think that a lot of fantasy analysts are kind of short selling it, because I feel like now, you know, whatever metaphor you want to use, I feel like the toothpaste is out of the bottle and it's not going back in, right? Like they got to lean on him. He's that good. James Washington has in my mind, like very little value going forward for fantasy purposes, because Claypool's got to be on the field for like 45 snaps a game.
We're talking to Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy expert here in the Sports Bar. Has Philadelphia found the number one receiver, Andy? Because, yes, they lost that game to the Steelers, but introduction here to the fantasy world for Travis Fulgham out of Old Dominion, and I'm looking at the rest of the receivers here on this Philadelphia roster, and really none of them excite me at this point. Is that worth a play, Fulgham, in Philadelphia taking on the Ravens this week?
Yeah, like everybody else in Philly is like injured or damaged to some extent, right? Deshaun Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Jalen Reagor, Dallas Goedert might be coming back pretty soon. I think Fulgham is just for a variety of reasons. First of all, he's just a really fun story. Like the reason he ended up at Old Dominion is not because he's like, you know, some inferior athlete. He barely played high school football. He played like a year or two of high school football because his parents were like foreign service officers. He was raised internationally. He comes to the States and he's like, okay, I'll give this a try, and ended up like walking on at Old Dominion and then immediately dominated everybody, and they gave him a scholarship. And he was great in the Senior Bowl. He's good. So nobody should be like dissuaded because he didn't go to Clemson or A&M or Alabama or something like that. Like, kid's really good. Looks the part no matter where he lined up and no matter where they targeted him is the other thing. Like a variety of routes, went clearly clicked with him. And I would just be surprised if he goes away now. Like, this is another case a little bit like Claypool. It's like Claypool light, because Claypool is, I think, a better player and a better talent. But, like, once a receiver and a quarterback get that kind of rapport and the receiver thrives like that, I wouldn't expect this to go away. I think he's going to see, like, six targets per week moving forward.
Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy Sports, our guest in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Andy, we actually have buys this week. Not COVID-induced buys, but buys this week. And that might pose some problems for people that are streaming quarterbacks. And I know that there's some second-tier quarterbacks that might be out there available in some leagues with some pretty tasty matchups. Who do you like this week?
Yeah, it's a great question because we have some good quarterbacks on bye. We have Justin Herbert, Drew Brees on bye. I think, and listen, some of this comes down to how healthy DJ Chark is right now and whether he'll play. But I think Gardner Minshew can be an outstanding play this week. He's got a very friendly matchup against Detroit. He's really only had one game this season that was a bit of a faceplant. And again, it was that game against Miami without Chark. So if Chark is dinged and can't go, that's bad. But if he can just get out there even as a decoy, I feel pretty good about Minshew. He's been over 300 yards in his last couple games. I think four of his five games this season are multi-touchdown games. Like, he's been a very solid play. I also think, even though, you know, he's not Dak, but I think Andy Dalton can help you this week. He's got the Monday nighter against Arizona. That's going to be a huge back-and-forth game. I expect a lot of points there on both sides. And again, the quality of Dalton's receivers is just so high that he can have a bad game and still throw two touchdown passes and 300 yards. And then, of course, I also think Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Jets doesn't take an expert to tell you that is a pretty good play.
Andy, I thought one of the games of the year so far was that game Sunday night for a variety of reasons. Minnesota, Seattle, a lot of back and forth, but nobody really talking about what I thought was a turning point in the game was when Dalvin Cook pulled up lame and he came back in, and he clearly wasn't right. As far as the handcuff, Alexander Mattison, and I'm assuming this game is going to come off at some point. That's the other angle here with the Falcons having a COVID issue. But Mattison in that Vikings offense this week, do you trust him?
Oh, sure. Mattison rushed for 100 yards last week. Like, he and Claypool, in my mind, were the clear top two waiver priorities this week. And it's probably only going to be a one-week phenomenon for Mattison because I think they go to their bye after this week.
Yeah.
And Cook was clearly a maybe because he tried to go, you know, he tried to come back into the game on Sunday night. But Mattison is gonna step into probably 80-85% of the backfield touches with a little bit of Mike Boone sprinkled in. And like, Mattison is no joke. He's somebody who I think can deliver. Like, Dalvin Cook is obviously special, deserves the contract. And there's this little sliver of, you know, but I feel like Dalvin Cook. While he's better than Alexander Mattison, I feel like Mattison is like 90-95% of Dalvin Cook. And that extra 5% is total magic, and it's a lot of stuff that Dalvin can do that really separates him. But 90-95% is pretty good. So if Mattison is going to get 20 touches, he's going to gain 100 yards. He's similar stylistically to Cook. They're clearly going to use him at the goal line as well. So there's a, you know, and it's Atlanta. I don't know. Maybe there's like a dead cat bounce with Atlanta off firing. But I mean, that's a defense that's played incredibly poorly so far and is banged up. Not going to surprise me if Madison gives us a couple touchdowns this week.
He's Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy Sports, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Andy, always gracious with your time to join us on Thursday. Can you let our listeners know where they can see and hear and read more of your work at Yahoo?
Oh, yeah. Join us on Fantasy Football Live. It's 90 minutes before kickoff every Sunday. We give you all the late-breaking news. We do a lot of sit-start questions, things like that. And check out the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast podcast as well.
Awesome. Andy, really appreciate your time. And I think we're back on schedule here, right, Danger? Yeah, there's no more baseball conflict. I think they put the World Series at night. So, Andy, thanks so much and have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. You too.
See you, Andy. Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy Sports in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, getting you set for another weekend of fantasy football.
Yeah, we do that every Thursday in the 3 o'clock hour. So this, we're going to try to help you win your fantasy game.
That's it. We're all about that. Yeah. We're all about that W. We do it for Survivor. We do it for fantasy. Even guillotine.
But when you saw Claypool, did you not think, I wanted the Buffalo Bills to take Claypool?
I mean, look, sometimes it's just easy, right? Like, we saw DK Metcalf, and he found the right landing spot, and now look at DK Metcalf. We saw Chase Claypool on the right landing spot, and now look at it's a two-way street. Like, the player with the physical ability and all the gifts and the talent in the world is one thing. But then it's the right landing spot. Like, look at the difference this season in Odell Beckham. You had Odell Beckham last year in a bad situation, and he didn't look like Odell Beckham. Now, with a coach who actually, a rational coach, who actually knows, hey, he's pretty good. We should probably try to find ways to get him involved, even if it's on an end around in the fourth quarter against the, that's smart. That's rational coaching. And now you're seeing the talent flourish once again. It's a two-way street. You know, and the Bills fans know this, right? The Bills fans know, like, sometimes you can get the most talented player in the world and you bring him here and he gets screwed up.
Well, and get ready for this and hit the do you know soundbite. But do you know that Kansas City wound up with Patrick Mahomes because the Buffalo Bills traded their first round pick?
They're gonna have to mention that at least half a dozen times on Monday.
Stop. Between now, how many times are you gonna hit this? Stop. With the what if, because if the Bills had drafted Patrick Mahomes, the support system wasn't here at that point. The offensive line was bad. There were no skilled players at that point. Your offensive coordinator was Rick Dennison at that point. Okay, the Bills didn't have... Sometimes you got to have a few things set up for success, and if the Buffalo Bills had drafted Patrick Mahomes in that slot... Yeah, there's a chance we might be talking that you'd be searching for another quarterback at this point. You got to have the system set up.
And by the way, it's also just healthy to not live in that fantasy land. You know, unless you like, you know, pretending that, you know, I'm Brad Pitt and he's George Clooney. You know, like, well, you're in a fantasy land.
Listen, we are Rochester's best looking radio show. Oh, no question.
Okay. I feel bad because Peter sent us a tweet at ESPN Rochester while we were talking to Andy. Actually sent it 3 minutes ago. The question being, does Matt Ryan have any fantasy value? I have an answer to that. Do you, Gene?
Yes. No.
No, I disagree. I think he does. Any given week, Matt Ryan could be a great fantasy value.
Okay, let's put it this way. What is the difference between quarterback number 14 and quarterback number 21? Yeah. Not much.
The answer to your question, Peter, is he's not the tier one guy that you probably thought you were drafting. And without all of his weapons at his disposal, he's not as valuable. You need Julio out there. You know, you don't have him. Then, yeah, all that being said, Peter, he's not playing good football right now. He's not playing well. I'd argue Wentz isn't playing well. Like, there's a handful of quarterbacks just not playing well right now. And you can find better guys on any given week that might give you more. I had to do it this week in one of our leagues with, he's on bye. But Drew Brees is somebody that's like, ugh. He just has been disappointing all season.
Bet you wish you had Tannehill.
Actually, I passed on Tannehill. Gene, this is a true story. You entered I might be guilty of playing fantasy football with a little bit of emotion.
Uh-huh.
I looked at the waiver wire and I looked at available quarterbacks that I needed to stream, and Tannehill was there. And I said, nope, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. Because I think I'm playing you this week in one of our leagues.
Yeah, and I picked him up today. Did you know that?
I didn't know you picked him up.
Yeah, I didn't use my priority on that.
Me
so
neither.
I dumped Minshew, and you're facing Ryan Tannehill.
Okay, well, yeah. I picked up Kirk Cousins, who's got a great matchup against those Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. Now, do I think to myself, Tannehill would have been a better play there? There's a part of me that says, Tannehill's a better play, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. I would have actually scooped him before you because I was on early this morning cleaning up the garbage left over from the waiver wire.
Oh, well, see, it pays to wake up early on the day after waiver claim day.
All right, we got to move on in the sports bar. We're going to get the latest out of the Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs beat reporter for ESPN's NFL Nation, Adam Teicher, is going to join us here before we wrap up shop at 5 o'clock, a condensed version of the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. We're going to take you up to first pitch. What are we talking here? Game five?
Game five.
The Astros and Rays.
I've got a Sports Center coming up where we have an update on Milano, Trey White, and John Brown.
All on the way in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Covering a Buffalo Bills season is a grind. At home, on the road, primetime, and late nights. Yet in this era of physical distancing, we somehow manage without taking a day off. So when you want the latest on the Bills, you know that we won't be on the bench. Loads of coverage all season. One Bills Live, weekdays at noon. Rochester's only local sports talk show, The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, weekdays at 3. And every bone-crunching hit and end zone celebration. Every play, every game, all season. ESPN Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.